I'm going to play some music in a minute.
Cool.
Here we go. Why can't I hear music? Oh, it's not turned up. Here we go. I still can't hear music. This is a bad live recording. Hang on. Stand by, everybody. This could be really bad. Just a minute, please. Why am I not hearing anything? That's a bad sign. Hang on. And stop.
Every story starts the same way. I'll just do a little bit until Sunday. And now I don't even know who I am.
They probably can.
Not that I ever really can. What's the questions in your head? I'll be the and when you meet the devil, he will always
go ahead and hope the hell that's not playing live, because that's going to sound absolutely terrible. Well, I'm moving right along. Hi there. Happy Friday. It is March 15th, 2019, and I'm Eric, talking at you as always from beautiful downtown Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, where I have studied all of the evidence, and I'm not completely convinced that Ben Franklin invented lightning.
But you haven't proved that he didn't, though.
I have not proved that he didn't. That is correct. How you doing today, Gord?
How you doing?
Right on. Welcome to the show. We are broadcasting live tonight from beautiful downtown Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Just a little effort to celebrate, spontaneity and all that stuff.
Yay, spontaneity.
Yeah, we're giving it a try. So if anyone's listening on Spreaker.com, you can be listening to us live right now. You just go over to Spreaker.com and click on the live recordings, and we should be showing up right there. I think we have one listener. I'm not 100% sure. I'm sure she'll get in touch with me if she is. How's everything out your way tonight, Gord?
Strange weather. They're calling for weather to be -4, feel like -12 tonight.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's fucked because we leave work to drive home, and I got in for a door shout. It was like a fucking half-ass snowstorm, and so it's snowing, it's plus two, but it was snowing like pretty intensely, very strange, and yeah, temperatures dropping down, so all the shit that's been melting the last two days with this plus 12, plus 10 degree weather is all gonna freeze tonight.
Well, let me be the first to say I am very glad I'm not you and I don't live near you.
You're not the first person to say that.
Yeah, I can't say the same. It's been just downright tropical around here. I am, however, missing my notes, which sucks. Got to talk about the few things we didn't get to talk about the other night as we were so rudely interrupted at the Tim Hortons.
The guy wasn't being a dick about it necessarily. He just,
I'm going to send him
a... Maybe he was being a dick, and I just didn't hear it.
He was super being a dick. Unfortunately for him, I do have it recorded, and I'll post it along with this episode. Tonight, you can hear us being postponed in the middle of our episode by a super dick who threatened to throw coffee in my face if I didn't shut up.
Really?
Oh, yeah, you'll hear it all. When I said we had 4,500 listeners, he said he's got 45 guys coming to smash me out. Yeah, no, there's more. You'll hear it all on the recording. It's fantastic. It was right. They interrupted me. The first thing I talked about was our good friend Screwball. This is a friend I work with who, prior to the barbecue contest, had never listened to an episode, and since the announcement of that contest, has listened to all 130, and plans on writing 130 reviews to win that barbecue set. So
awesome dedication. Thank you, Screwball.
He's having a little trouble getting online. I said we would enter the draw for him. Not 130 times. That would be unfair, but I'll put in one entry for him just for his commitment. I think that's pretty awesome. So I think that takes the grand total of entrants to five. So, ladies and gentlemen, get in touch with us, Eric and Gordon at Outlook.com. Write a review of the show or put it on Podchaser.com or Facebook, Twitter, anywhere you like. Put a review of one of the episodes of our show, and you have a 1 in 6 chance of winning this barbecue set before the May long weekend.
That's better odds than any Vegas game on the market.
Exactly. And for complete contest details, you can go to ericandgord.simdiff.com, our new currently being updated website that looks way better than the cheesy one I put up. And I'm pulling the trigger on ericandgord.com by next Thursday. That should launch. So it will actually be ericandgord.com.
Wicked.
Next Thursday, I'm hoping that launches. It's going to look fantastic. It's a lot better than what we're used to. So yeah, go to those and you can enter to win the barbecue set. Sorry, I got a little distracted there. I'm trying to see how this live thing is working out. Because I have no way of checking. okay. So yeah, that was Screwball. And if you want to win this amazing barbecue set, I'm going to get Gord to describe it to you just so you know what the hell I'm talking about. Just a real quick description. And the draw date is May 17th of this year. Go ahead, Gordon. Tell them what they're winning.
This is the old... Actually, I have a radio voice. I can attempt it. This is the ultimate in barbecue pleasure. This is an amazing kit comes in a stainless steel case with everything your barbecue needs and desires could ever want. It's got forks. It's got knives. It's got tongs. It's got a steak carving set. It's got absolutely everything. Anything and everything you could ever need. All in one carry case, you can show up to your friends and you can show them up and show them how to barbecue properly. Add on to that, you're getting a secondary set of steak knives that are done in a Solingen German steel, which are the best steel in the world, and all of that will be specially re-edged by me, which is going to give you the perfect slicing pleasure.
That is amazing. And
that was my radio voice. Was it good?
That was a good radio voice. I'm impressed.
Weird using it.
Yeah, it's good on you though. I like it.
Thank you.
I don't know if this live recording thing is going on. Listen to everybody, ladies and gentlemen, kids all around the world. Gord, I don't know if you got the message I sent you the other day with the anchor stats showing us in a lot more countries than we thought we were in. Very, very cool. So
I've been talking nonstop about that.
So cool. We popped up in Ireland, a whole bunch of other, I don't even know them now. There's so many.
UK, Taiwan.
Yeah, and that puts us just over 4,700 listeners now. And in perfect timing because we are... four days away from the one-year anniversary of this crazy little show. It was March 19th was the first broadcast I did. Horribly boring. A horribly boring episode, but I did want to commemorate it this year with a live broadcast. I was thinking of maybe a Facebook Live. Gord, would you be up for that?
Absolutely.
It'd be fantastic. March the 19th, we're going to go live. I'm going to try to have some special guests, maybe get Adrian on with us to just celebrate a year of doing this crap and people listening to me do this for a year. It's unbelievable that I actually stuck with something for a year because that doesn't happen very often. And exactly. And we're just getting bigger and better all the time. It's a really exciting time to be doing this. So, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to hopefully you can be there with me on that's 4 days from now. What does that put it? Tuesday, I guess?
Tuesday night should work for me.
Beautiful. So that'll be our 1 year. And that's actually a 1 year. That's not like the 100th and 100th episode. That's actually my 1 year.
1 year, man.
Very crazy. I never thought I'd do 10 episodes, let alone a year's worth. Which I believe will be 135, the actual number. I think this is 130 we're doing right now.
Yeah,
maybe 131. I don't know. I don't keep track of these things. I pay. It is very, very cool. I'm having more and more fun with it all the time. But we don't have a ton of time to talk about us right now. I do want to quickly give a quick shout out to the Champion Tree Entertainment Company, who make this show possible and who are trying very, very hard to establish themselves as a entertainment company in this city. It should help with an exciting joint venture we signed with Bullet Marketing out of Vancouver, who can provide low barrier, low interest loans to any independent artist, musician, or actor looking to explore their potential, discover their talent, and realize their dreams. You can get through to us at thingstotry@outlook.com. Brand new website popping up right away as well. And that will be possibilities.simdiff.com. You can go there and find out all the things Champion Tree can do for you. Champion Tree Entertainment Company, because the only things in life that are impossible are the things you don't try. I'm not plugging Anchor, I'm not plugging anybody tonight. What I will say is Eric and Gord have a lot of ad space up for grabs. So if you want to be advertised on a show that is expanding exponentially, feel free to get in touch with us, Eric and Gord, at outlook.com. We do pre-roll, mid-roll, post-roll, anything you like. Dynamic ads read by Gord and his awesome radio voice. We can negotiate a CPM or a flat rate. Totally up to you. We're willing to advertise anything and everything you want to. So get in touch with us for some advertising on a... just a powerhouse that's snowballing every day. New listeners every day. Your product is going out to thousands, literally thousands of people around the world who may not have heard of you before, but they're listening to us every night. So that's very cool. Eric and Gordon at Outlook.com. So before we get to the story that we didn't really get to the other night, because I didn't hear a goddamn word you were saying, I wanted to talk about the situation that my girlfriend is going through right now, because I knew you'd have a big opinion on it.
What's that?
So, a person starts a job 7 years ago.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. A person is jailed for something 7 years ago. No charges are brought against her. She's released from jail, whatever. Starts a job. 4 years later, starts a job at a company. And is asked if she has a criminal record. She says no. Gets this job. 3 years later, she's up for a promotion. Basically, just a change in title, not a real flashy promotion, but a promotion nonetheless. As she's being considered for this, they pull her human resources file, and they decide to do a subsequent criminal background check. They find this thing on her criminal record, and instead of getting promoted, she gets fired.
Well, she technically did lie.
Technically.
Technically. I mean, it's not even technically about it. She did lie. She flat out lied. It sucks. It's not fair.
See, my question is for you here.
Go ahead.
My real question about the situation is not extremely personal. Obviously, it sucks for her. I think it's bullshit, but that's not my big concern. My concern is, should your criminal past even be considered in an employment situation? My personal belief is it shouldn't. Some guy did some time for something shitty 7 years ago. Now he's trying to do good, hasn't thought about it in 7 years. Why should that be a factor?
Here's why.
Shouldn't credentials trump that? Shouldn't your credentials be more important than that?
Think about it this way. What if I say the reasoning for the charge should come into play, such as I've never been in jail. I'm using that as an example.
I
got charged and
sure.
I spent
good cover.
30 days in jail for pot possession, right? And then I'm going for a job that's got to do with, I don't know, fucking accounting. That charge has got absolutely nothing, no hindrance, nothing to do with the new job position there. Ergo, should make a difference. Now, I go to jail for fraud and, say, theft from a business through fraudulent accounting stuff, and I'm going for an accounting job for a company, then yeah, I think that should be applicable. You can say, yeah, no, you lied, you can tell us what you deal for this. Because you wouldn't want a person who knows how to defraud the company's assets and charge with it to work for your company.
I guess.
So, it all comes down to, I mean, should you not hire somebody because they've been to jail once? Well, no. That's just fucking retarded.
And what about this notion of pulling your record 3 years after you've had flawless employment? Everyone admits you're the best thing that's ever happened to the company. But there's one little thing that you didn't really lie, because there's no criminal record. It's just there was some sort of criminal involvement. I believe what it was she was kind of an accessory to something that an acquaintance of hers did, and she just got tied up in it. But it had nothing to do. It was 4 years before she worked at the company, and 3 years, you know, 7 years in total. And she's not looking for a job. She's getting a promotion in a company she's been exemplary in. Like, I think it's bullshit.
That situation's not right.
No.
I understand only to the extent that, you know, she lied about her past, but then again, if she had brought it up during the initial interview, would she have ever gotten a job to begin with?
Absolutely not. And it wasn't really a lie so much as just like an omission, you know?
Well, I mean, like, how long was she in jail for?
A week, apparently. About a week. Or a long weekend, maybe, somewhere in there. Say 4 to 7 days.
I don't want to... I mean, I'm one of those guys that just had tendency to be overtly too honest during interviews anyways.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, whenever they ask me, like, my honest answer is they go, have you ever been to jail? No, I've never been to.
Right, that's a good...
And I normally just say that, and I usually end up getting that weird look from them going, like, did you really just fucking throw it? I'm like, what am I, a fucking saint? No!
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a good way to play it up.
Jesus, here we can get fucking free.
But, you know, it's like... You know, when my ex-wife used to say, hey, how was the show? I wouldn't say, oh, I did a bunch of blow with hookers in the back room of the back alley. You know, no, I don't tell her that. I omit it, but it's not really relevant to anything.
No,
I'm kidding. That's a terrible example.
I get what you're saying. I don't understand. Like, if I'm working for a company, and one of my employees is a great employee, I'm going to promote them. And for whatever reason, we do an actual background check just because it's required for the position. And this comes up. I'm not just going to outright fire the person.
Right.
I'm going to pull them aside and say, just so you know, so this came up. What's going on?
Yeah, this came up. What's going on? Why didn't you tell us about it in the beginning?
Get the explanation, make a decision from there. I mean, that's how it should be handled. Any company that doesn't handle it like that isn't the company you really want to be working for, because they obviously don't care about the people.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I totally burned a kid one time when I was a manager at Rona. I caught a kid stealing after hours quite a significant amount of stuff. And I went up to him and I went, I really liked the kid, so I was like, dude, you know, I'm going to let this go, but if I ever catch you again, I'm totally going to have to report you. And later that night, I was feeling really guilty, so I called my boss and explained the situation to him. And the next morning, my boss fired him. I felt horrible because I wasn't calling to rat the kid out. I was calling out. I was going, dude, what do I do? Like, I really like this kid. It's his one mistake. Like, and yeah, I totally burned him. So, hey, Jordan Fiander, if you're listening, sorry, buddy. Yeah, you should have stole, especially in front of me. You know what kind of a manager I was, you idiot. Why weren't you, like, what was going through your knob? Anyway, stupid. So here's the thing, guys. Don't lie to your employers. I would say, on the other hand, I think your criminal record shouldn't matter. I think if I did some shitty things in my past, which I absolutely did, if I never got a job again because of my criminal past, that would be pretty lame. I could see why you're apt to return to crime in that scenario.
Associate to the Hell's Angels, like, you know, they can turn around and say, oh, you've got criminal ties, we're not going to hire you.
Oh, of course.
I was an associate because I went to a clubhouse party once.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't go and rob a fucking bank with these fucking guys. I just got drunk and high with them one night.
But look how that sounds. What if we said, so-and-so that's running for the Liberal Party is an associate of the Hell's Angels? Like, it sounds... Now, you don't add context to it, right? Because then it doesn't sound as bad. But if you just say it like that, it sounds like he's a bad dude.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's what everything is. I mean, it's all about context. It's all about how did this come to be? What happened?
Well, exactly. But if I go out on the air and I go, we don't know that Gord eats babies, but he's never said he doesn't. Exactly. Well, of course. Do I have a massive international shipping background for as I claim to have in the last job I applied for? No, I've got shipping and handling at Rona and Bed Bath. Now, when I say, yes, I've done shipping for international organizations, that's not a lie.
It's not a lie at all.
It might be a bit of an exaggeration. I don't think I even shipped a package to the States while I worked for Bed Bath, but nevertheless, there's ways of saying things without saying things, I guess, and that's what all our favorite politicians do, and... Yes.
And that's what's fucked up. Like, I mean, you should just be able to be fucking blunt and honest. Here's an example. I mentioned this a little bit yesterday. I don't think I mentioned this yesterday. I got pulled over for speeding.
Yes.
And, you know, like, I mean, I'm not saying I could have ran. I just to make him catch up with me. I did. I pulled over right away, waited for him to catch up, and comes over and he goes, "Do you have anything on your record?" "Yeah, I still got an unpaid speeding ticket on my record." Right up fucking front. "We'll take my license checks and comes back. Just so you know, I could have charged you with the same, it would have been the same fine as that was, like a $300 fucking fine. But because you were honest with me, and I appreciate being honest, I asked you questions, direct questions, gave you a direct answer, everything else came up clear in the record, everything else is good, so therefore, I'm just going to knock this down to a minimum over, $40 fucking ticket, you're good to go."
Fair enough.
That should be how jobs fucking work.
Yeah, I would like it if that's how it worked, but I'm not sure that it is. And I don't know that it ever will be, and I think that's wrong and stupid.
You know, what's even more weird is that you have somebody like Richard Branson, owner of Virgin. He's openly always stated, you know, if you got a, like, lie on your resume, if somebody says, "Well, do you have this experience?" "Absolutely I do. Of course I do. I got tons of experience." "Oh, yeah, well, I can do that." You know, so apply for the position that you can't get and figure out what you get.
Yeah.
Why can't we just have that? I mean, it's not about alignment. You know, do you think you can do this job? "Yeah, I think I can do this job. Give me a shot." Yeah.
I don't see why not. I don't see what the problem is with that, frankly, but maybe I'm weird. Maybe I'm the freak. I don't know. I just think it's stupid. We vote for criminals every day. You think Donald Trump hasn't done some shady shit in his past? I promise you he has. Justin Trudeau's doing it right now. And yet, for some reason, when it comes to the average, everyday, ordinary guy, it seems to be a bad thing.
It's just not right. Everything is systematically set up to
fail. Absolutely. Hey, for those of you listening to the show, if you haven't found us yet, if you look under Eric Brennan, is it just me? You'll see us recording live. I don't know why it's popping up under that old title, but I just checked over on the Spreaker website, and that's what we're popping up as. I think they're all our pages are linked, so it shouldn't matter, but just in case it does, there you have it. And of course, this episode will be archived anyway. It's not like it goes live and disappears. It's recorded just like the others. And it's something I'd like to do from now on, if we possibly could, because there's no difference between how we're doing it now and how we normally do it. We don't stop for breaks anyway. So I've copied the link to Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest. Everyone can listen in if they want. We only got about a half an hour left. Do you feel like stopping for a song, or do you want to just power through it?
I think we'll power through it. That's what we've got left. Let's fucking do it.
Yeah, why not? We got, so there you have it. Employers, quit being dicks. Don't bring up records years later and stuff. Okay. Now, someone that's going to have trouble hiding anything in their past is apparently Chinese high school students. Pretty hard to hide your past when your whole criminal record is literally written on your face. So, Gord has been waiting all week to break this story about Chinese facials. Gord, why don't you fill us in on what you've been trying to talk about? Hey, buddy.
That was weird.
Absolutely love that 30 seconds after saying, hey, this is great, let's just power through, we lost our internet connection. That is just brilliant. What a friggin' nightmare. But we are back. There was probably a good 3-4 minutes of dead air there.
That sucks.
So... cost us a little bit of time, but we still have time to talk. I'm dying to talk to you about this story. We've been trying for about a week to get this out.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why that just happened, but we got a little less than a half an hour to talk about it. So, Chinese kids at this... Is it one particular school, or...
Yeah, it's a very predominant school in China. It's like called school number 11 or 17 or
right.
Something like that, or 7. And basically, the entire school, everything about the school is actually all run by facial recognition. To the extent of, at like the lower end of it, if you're running late, so if you're getting into school, you're running late, you're right at, like, say, school starts at 8 o'clock. Right at 8 o'clock, the door's fucking closed, the main door's closed,
locked. And just for those of you who know, this isn't like Monday morning trying to remember who gave you the facial. This is computer systems to scan your face and read it.
Right, exactly. if you're running late, the main door's locked from the outside. In order for you to get in, you have to go through a special door on the side. And the only way to get in is through facial recognition.
Yes.
Or an email or whatever, text or whatever it is to your family to let them know that you were late. that's at the small end of it. On the other end, you've got it where at the beginning of or at the end of every week, you write down a list of what you want for your lunches. And then when you go to get your lunch, you literally just stand in front of the screen and scan your face. And then there's your lunch pick that you've done. So it's all done by Facebook pick there. Now here's where this shit gets fucking weird. While you're in class, you're being scanned all the time that you're in class. And if at any point during any of the lessons, if it appears that you're not paying attention, you will actually get a notice. They'll be sending you to tell you, basically, to pay attention because you're not paying attention. Well, you're with your meals that you pick that you want to eat, over the course of the school years, it will actually optimize your meal plan for you and start giving you better suggestions on how to have a better meal that's going to be better suited for you and your learning ability. And everything is absolutely done through facial recognition. So at no point, from the moment you're in that school, and even on the grounds for the most part, because even if you're on the grounds and you're outside doing whatever you're doing outside, you're being facially recognized throughout all of it.
See, now I've got about 50,000 special effects I wish I could be playing right now, but that, frankly, I think in a school situation is absolutely ridiculous.
Now, but here's a strange thing. So what's really weird is they had an interview with this one 19-year-old girl from school, and she was actually saying, she goes, what this does is this promotes three things. It promotes better students because knowing that everything you're doing is on camera, you're less likely to become a bully. You're less likely to beat somebody up. You're less likely to cause a problem knowing that you're not going to, it's impossible to get away with it.
Unless you're genuinely have an issue.
Right. But even if you genuinely have an issue,
no, but I mean, if you have like some sort of mental problem, if you're a bully because you're mental, then you're still going to be mental, whether you're on camera or not. So, yeah, well, exactly.
The second part of it is, she really thought that the whole idea of how it's with the meals was a great idea, just because it does it. Because once it starts suggesting other meal ideas, you start trying these. So it was like, yeah, like, you know, it gives you more energy. Pay attention for longer, all because you're eating healthy, you're eating better. And then the third thing was that the notification about being in class, but like, no, there's class that I wasn't very, like, I struggle with. And every time I would sort of drift off, or I'd stop paying attention, whatever it was, and I all of a sudden, immediately, I'd get my mobile buzz, or my thing, my laptop would come up, and the notes would come up. They tell me this, and then it starts recognizing patterns, and then they immediately set you up for like tutor lessons and things like this to have you become a better student, and you'll be able to learn more efficiently because they see you're not doing well in that class, you don't pay attention as well, and they try to find and solve the problem.
See, now when I was in school, we had this person that used to stand near the front of the room and monitor that kind of stuff without any sort of technology. They were, the fucking teachers.
Yeah, but nowadays, the thing with teachers nowadays is, I mean, again, this is in North America, I know it. So imagine if you have a teacher whose job now is, like, you have to teach a lesson, when you're spending a pretty big chunk of your time teaching these kids, making sure that they're paying attention. Imagine if you saw the movie and that teacher is doctoring. And now they have all this extra time that they can learn and teach better, more efficiently. Because they don't have to pay attention to this billion of the fucking back technicians and things like that. You're making it a more efficient system. And it truly does. It makes it a more efficient system. But again, at what expense?
Right. Now, I think now just in the North American system, you're letting teachers off way too easy. Your lesson plans aren't that fucking difficult. I know y'all took the job because you want to smoke pot for 2 months a year. Well, not every one of them, just 90% of them. And I really argue against this class size bullshit. Come on. Deal with it. But... I still fear the barcode. I don't want to be barcoded. I like being watched. I'm okay with that. But I like knowing that I can hide when I feel like it. This, if my face has to be scanned every time I walk into a building, that freaks me out.
See, I just go under the assumption that no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, second I step out my fucking front door, there is a high chance that somebody somewhere is either filming or taking a picture of someone.
It's a fair assumption, and it's also perfectly legal if you're out in public.
Right.
So.
Now, here's where this all gets fucking wrong, because in Canada, one of my fucking cousins actually had this piece of shit as a teacher. This guy was actually had a little hidden pen camera in his pocket, and he was filming all the female students' fucking cleavage.
Wow.
He got caught. He got fucking caught.
Yeah.
Red-handed. And they let him go.
Yeah.
And the reason they did is because, for two reasons. One, they said, well, we don't think that he was taking these images for sexual purposes.
Well, then what the hell was he taking them for?
He's a grown man taking a picture of titty shots. It's only for sexual fucking purposes.
Is he making Enfilac ads?
Right? I mean, that's just it. But the craziest thing, well, this is where this whole fucking thing gets really flipped upside down between North America and China. They also ruled that students in schools do not have the right to privacy while they're in a classroom.
Well, that... Okay,
you
don't have the right to privacy in the sense that you can't be screwing in the back of the classroom, or you can't be smoking a joint or talking on your phone or something. You definitely have the right not to have your tits photographed.
Right? Like, that's... I just can't believe that this guy got away with it. And not only got away with it, but the court sided with
it. That I'll never understand. I will never understand where the courts come in on sex offenders. It's how many Chinese sex offenders did you hear about? They probably all get fucking killed on the spot. They get dragged off and killed, and you never hear about them again. These fucking drains on our society, they get away with this shit. At the most, they might lose their job. But so many go unconvicted for the nasty shit they do to high school girls. Go out and look at a high school girl tomorrow while you're on your way to work. See what that looks like. They're children. They're infants. It's just...
I had a teacher in class... My sister had a teacher in her class, and they heard about this guy, like, sort of going in and saying, oh, you watch out for this fucking guy, because he'll walk up to girls' desks when they're talking, he would rub his crop actually on the corner of the desk.
Sure.
He'd basically dry fuck the desk.
Yeah, I used to do it all the time.
No,
I didn't.
The girls started getting wise with this, and what they would do is when the teacher wasn't looking, they would actually rub, like, marker or chalk or something like that along the corner of the desk. So when he'd go over, he'd rub his dick against it. When he stepped back, he'd have this fucking smear line.
That's awesome.
And that's how he ended up getting, quote-unquote, caught for it, and then he ended up stopped doing it because he realized all the girls were, well, defending themselves against him.
That's hilarious. Hey, Mr. Sir, how come all your chalk is pants colored now? Alright, just trying something new. Kids, go back to work. That's awesome. That's hilarious. It's not. It's disgusting and wrong. But along that lines, I had a teacher named Mr. Josephson who had just a legendary bald spot and stood in the same spot every day. And I did write Mr. Joe's bald spot with an arrow, and he stood in front of it for a good damn near a week before he figured it out. And it was classic. He actually hit me for that one.
Really?
Oh yeah. Well, he was mad. He didn't like that he had a bald spot. He didn't think anybody knew. But everybody knew, and I pointed it out with an arrow. Oh, Mr. Joe. All right, we drove that guy nuts. Hey, Mr. Joe, if you ever hear this, I'm sorry, buddy.
Fuck you, Mr. Joe. Get over your fucking hair.
Oh, we tortured that guy. That's no right to take pictures of teenage girls' tits, but, you know, you gotta unwind somehow when you're dealing with people like us. Jesus.
In front of the entire class. And my fucking so-called buddy, the school gave him a 2-day suspension.
That's amazing.
Well, the cool thing was what happened to the teacher, because although we all knew that you can't, you know, physically harm a teacher without getting in a lot of trouble for it, but you can fuck with their car.
Yes, you can. Yeah, I actually have a pretty... I didn't get one fired, but a teacher was caught making fun of my name, a gym teacher, and was let go. He was very blatantly for weeks using that particular pun to refer to me in gym class, because I wasn't much of a performer in gym class. And someone else ratted him out, and he was caught calling me by that name. I'm not even going to say it, but you guys can all put two and two together with Eric, little Eric Hunt in class. If you can't, go over to YouTube and catch my comedy show. You'll figure it all out. But he was let go for that. He was like a student teacher. He wasn't really full-fledged at our school yet. He was like doing a practicum. And he didn't last too long. So I just got to say, we only got about a few minutes left here, unfortunately, because I have to leave where I'm at. As I rely on Wi-Fi until Wednesday for us to do our little show. I just got to say, teachers, you're all fucking scumbags. Every last one of you. I think you should all be fired. And your occupation's obsolete now anyway. We got the facial recognition computers that can make sure the kids are in school, and the internet can handle the rest. There's no need for you anymore. Go get real jobs. That's exactly right. We already have an episode called that, or this one would be it. Which, by the way, is our most popular episode ever. I just thought. Anchor.fm listed the 10 of our most popular episodes ever, and that one, Those Who Can Do, Those Who Can't Teach, and Those Who Don't Give a Shit podcast. That's our number one most downloaded episode with 98 downloads that night.
That's awesome.
Very awesome. Thank you to everybody for just making this the coolest thing ever. Except for teachers. I thank you for nothing. You had nothing to do with this. You didn't help me get here at all. In fact, you helped me with nothing. Ever. All of you. I didn't realize how little you did for me until I stopped being under your influence. Except for Cassie Crest, my grade 12 AP English teacher, you were pretty amazing, and that's pretty much it. Mr. Wyatt, you're a funny dude, but you taught me nothing. You introduced me to some good books, but you didn't teach me anything. I learned so much more about Canadian history after history class. We should be allowed to take pictures of your tits and sell them on the internet, all of you.
Oh my God. Wow. Oh,
Yeah, hey, get in touch with those teachers. Give me I got my 20-year reunion coming up. I'd love to see you again. Eric and Gordon at Outlook.com.
And your kids. I have a new joke.
Oh, please.
I heard a new Jesus joke.
Oh, my God.
And I want to share it publicly because I think it's really funny.
All right.
Okay. So you remember the other one?
Right in line for Easter, everybody. Good.
That's right. You remember my other one, the one that we heard from the caddy?
Of course.
Okay, which we did share on the air the one day.
Oh, we did. Right. I, funny enough, I listened to that episode while I was going to bed last night.
Nice. So, okay, here's the joke. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so, this is the Last Supper. Jesus stands up.
Puts
his hands out and says, "Tonight we feast for tomorrow, Judas is introducing me to tonight his nails."
Okay.
Does he use nails to fucking hit him on the cross? It's a conundrum of the... Really? I thought you would have enjoyed that.
I did enjoy it. I just thought... I thought there'd be more. I bet Trent Reznor likes it.
I'm sure he does. I heard that and I thought that shit was just great.
It is great. That's we can do a book of nailing Jesus on the cross jokes.
I think we should.
It'd be really funny actually. No, that was good. I'm sorry, I got a little distracted as you were telling it, but I did enjoy it. I always enjoy a good Jesus joke. So I want to talk to Mike Holmes about that when you get him on.
Here's another Jesus joke. He existed.
Yeah, you know, I used to have an imaginary friend who I thought would... he would listen to me when I talked and did magical things. And then I stopped going to church. It must be a national thing because they're all over here too. Maybe we're driving cops around the country crazy. That would be awesome. Although I really do love the law enforcement profession and the people involved in it who don't frequently kill black people. You're all good. And yeah, I'm on your side, so I hope we're not pissing you off too much. And if we are, fuck yeah, I don't care. You're cops, what do I give a shit? They did, you know what, they did a shifey thing outside of my work because they're constantly harassing people at my work because they do drugs on the street, which you're not supposed to do. But one guy was yelling at them last week and they couldn't get him on anything. They searched him, he didn't have anything on him. They tried to look for warrants, he didn't have any warrants. They finally busted him for fucking smoking in a doorway.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Like, just anything to give this poor bastard a ticket. I was like, these guys have way too much.
If you're sitting there pestering the bucket of the cop, you got to expect it.
Well, yeah, he was calling them names and stuff. And he's not a bright kid. But
no.
I think he's 2 years older than me, too, so I should probably stop saying that about him. But still, you know, he's coming out. Can we come up with something better than pig? We've been using the same thing for like 100 years. It's basically the equivalent of like, copper, you'll never take me alive. Like, come on, let's come up with something more creative than pig.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was funny when all cops were fat.
Yeah.
But you're not all fat anymore.
Quite the opposite, I find. A lot of them are in incredible shape, especially the females in this area. So that could be our next contest. That'll be a deck of cards for you guys. Come up with a better word for cops than that. Something a little more creative than pig.
And po-po-po-po.
Yeah, no, don't.
I don't like po-po either.
I cannot stand any abbreviation that's as long or longer than the fucking word you're supposed to be abbreviating.
Yeah.
That's like Timmy Hose. That's no better than Tim Hortons. You save no time saying it. It's stupid. Stop saying it. Just say Tim Hortons. You sound retarded.
Yeah.
And Po-Po. Po-Po. You sound like a four-year-old. Po-Po. No, shut up. Finish the police. It's the same amount of syllables. You're not doing anything but making yourself sound like an idiot. Right. Cops. Oh no, I call them the Coco.
Right? I always like the classic 1950s one is the Jiggers is the cops, you know what I mean?
Yeah. The fuzz.
Right? Jiggers.
Jiggers. The jig is up. That's awesome.
I feel like because there's a cop that's in the cemetery now. I feel like driving up and just fucking circling around him just for something to do.
You know what? Drive up to him, shake his hand, and then run over his foot.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That'd be good. Don't do that. Bad idea. Pretty much don't antagonize a cop in a dark cemetery. That's probably good. You know, anywhere where there's fresh graves. Probably. But anyway, cops are good. You're all good. I like you guys. Keep listening.
I don't know how to carry a cop car. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you can figure it out. You must have, like, everything must be machines now, right? In that industry? There's no, like, grave diggers out there with shovels.
Well, I mean, like, you have a backhoe that takes the main part, but you still gotta get your right hand to make it square and solid enough so that the basket all fits in. See, Milton does it differently. Milton doesn't just drop a basket around. They actually encase it in concrete.
Right, yeah, that's what you were saying. And you could use a backhoe to hide a cop car, I'm sure.
Yeah, but, I mean, you fire up a backhoe in the middle of the cemetery at night, you're on a main fucking road. That's going to get noticed.
Well, maybe if you do it.
Well,
I don't know what that means. Wow. All right. We got about 5 minutes to wrap it up here, unfortunately.
I felt like an OJ fucking confession book there for a minute.
Yeah.
I didn't do it, but if I did, this is how I do it.
And now it comes to fruition that there is an outside chance he didn't. That's the world we live in these days. Maybe OJ didn't do it. Wow.
No.
That gives me hope for the future.
No, that gives me no hope for the future.
Just as much as that's like, you know, like that's right up there with like Y2K. If it came true now, you know, oh, we were just 19 years late. Sorry.
Oops, forgot to carry the one.
Hey, guys, it turns out that Mayan calendar was upside down.
Yeah. Hey, you heard about the new jumbo jets that's crashed?
Yes, and they've I didn't want to get into the Boeing discussion tonight because it's such a huge topic and we're out of time, but yes, amazing story with this jet. Did I lose you?
The world.
Yeah, grounded around the world. And we were one of the last ones to jump on board. Way to go, Canada.
Right?
Yay. We are the restaurant at the end of the world, apparently. That ties right back into my Demolition Man thing, which, God, what a prophetic movie. I didn't realize what an amazingly astute movie that really was for a Schwarzenegger Wesley Snipes joint.
Yeah,
wow.
It, a great movie.
Right on par with everything that's going on. Because that's really this Chinese facial recognition thing. That's exactly what this movie did.
That was Sylvester Stallone, wasn't it?
Yeah, what did I say?
Said, Schwarzenegger.
Oh. Oh, I'm going to get a smack from that. And I deserve it. Wow, I'm sorry. Sylvester Stallone and the fat guy from Beetlejuice, whose name I never know, but he was great in it.
Yes, I don't know his name, but yes, you're right.
I think that might be his name.
Yeah,
I think he officially changed his name to Fat Guy from Beetlejuice. Because that was what he's...
That was his name before he got the role.
Well, maybe that's how he got the role.
That would have been pretty so fucking prolific.
My name is literally Fat Guy from Beetlejuice. Can I be in your movie? No. You don't fit the part.
Too obvious.
I can see Tim Burton doing that, too. No. We're going to get Crispin Glover instead. Sorry. What?
How does that even work? What the hell?
Wow. Are you around to do this again tomorrow night, Gordon?
Tomorrow is...
Saturday.
No, I will not be around tomorrow night.
All right. I might jump on the old airwaves just to do a couple of commercials and stuff that I should have done tonight but didn't. It was a fun hour. I'm glad we finally did this. It's been way too long.
Yes. Yeah, we gotta not have these week-long fucking gaps between episodes.
Right. I'd like to get one more in before Tuesday, if possible. If not, then Tuesday, the one-year anniversary special live show, either on YouTube or Facebook. I'm not sure which. I'm leaning toward Facebook.
I think Facebook's a better idea.
Me too. So there we go.
By the way, I'm going to send you a video after this through Messenger. That's a song you're going to fucking
die laughing. Actually, did you see the latest robot video with the girls?
No, I haven't actually had a chance to watch it yet.
Oh, dude. I don't know who writes those things, but they are brilliant.
Oh, man.
And this one, we introduced some female characters into Gordbot's life. It's going to get wild. It's a lot of fun.
I just sent you the thing. I can't wait for you to watch it.
Excellent. And oh, I just got it. And stay tuned at the end, after Eric and Gord say goodnight tonight, stay tuned because you're going to get a special bonus. I think it's about 20 minutes to a half hour of us trying to record last night in a Tim Hortons where I was threatened to the point where I felt uncomfortable and quit recording. 5 minutes after those people left, which was stupid. I could have just kept going after they left. But anyway, they ruined it, and I got it all on tape, and I'll be posting it along with this episode. So we will be back either... Oh, I'll be back tomorrow night, regardless. Until then, take care of each other.
Fuck teachers.
I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
I am stopping. I'm going to put my headphones in for a sec so I can hear you. Do I really want to stop the broadcast? And... yeah. And we're off. What am I going to do for a song? Doesn't matter. Hi there. Happy Wednesday, probably. It is March the 12th, 2019. I'm Eric, talking Edge as always from beautiful downtown Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, where all things being equal, fat people use more soap. Let's see, I didn't know that. That is information that,
I don't give a shit!
Welcome, Gord. It's been a long time since we've talked. What's going on, buddy? Well, that's better than some, I guess. Just take a minute real quick to mention that this portion of the show is brought to you by Anchor.fm, the best way to make your podcast ever. And you can create and host unlimited episodes, record from anywhere you like, include up to 10 friends, and monetize it. You can do it all for free. If you think you can do what Gordon and I do, get started today at the App Store. Anchor.fm, the best way to make your podcast ever. For now, people just jumping ship left and right, so I don't know what's going on. Apparently their service has gotten really bad. I don't know, I haven't really been paying that much attention, but something to pay attention to. Another thing I wanted to bring up to you, there's a gentleman that I work, he's a client at my work, we'll just call him Screwball for now, that's his handle at work. He never listened to an episode of our show before the announcement of the barbecue giveaway.
Yeah.
He has, since we announced the contest, listened to all of them.
No shit, really?
Every 129 episodes.
Wow, he's got a lot of free time.
Yeah, apparently. He's listened to the entire archive, and he plans on doing a review for every episode.
Oh, that's spectacular.
But he was having trouble. He showed me on his phone. It wouldn't connect to anything, to our website, to Facebook, to anything. So I said that we would put in one entry on his behalf just for his effort.
Absolutely.
So one ballot for Screwball is being entered on his behalf, which puts the total number of ballots, I believe, at 5.
Well, that's 5 more than we had before we started this contest.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I can't believe someone went to that extent to win a free thing.
That's pretty awesome, though.
That's a guy who likes free stuff. And I don't blame him for it. I like free stuff, too. And if you guys want free stuff, all you got to do is listen to the show, write a review. You can send it to ericandgord.simdiff.com. Or ericandgord@outlook.com or Facebook, Twitter, any number of things.
You know, I'd like to add in a little thing into our contest just because I think it'd be fair. I think if somebody local wins this thing, local to you, then I think that they have to treat you to a barbecue dinner.
A pair of headphones wouldn't make me talk any quieter, unfortunately. Sorry, I got a guy complaining about the levels, yeah. There's not really a lot I can do about that, unfortunately. I'm at the only place I can be. So, sorry, I missed that, what you were saying there, Gord. Can you repeat that for me?
I was thinking, I think it would be a groovy-ass idea. Somebody wanted that local to you, that they have to treat you to a barbecue dinner.
Oh, I like that.
How's that for an idea?
That is a very good idea. So there, you guys now have heard the rules, and I don't think we'll go over what you're winning. We've done that quite a bit enough. $500 value, roughly. Fantastic prize package to be won this May. And that's the other thing to be to remember too. It's not until May 17th, so there's still tons of time to enter. And you can get full contest details at our new website, or at our old website, ericandgord.simdiff.com. We will have a new website soon. It is exciting. I'm looking forward to it. I didn't even tell you about that, but I'm going to actually launch this one properly. I'm not going to talk about it until it's ready to go. So, that's enough about that. You had something in mind that you wanted to talk about first, right?
I did. I heard something and I found it quite fascinating. And I would like to hear your opinion on this topic.
Definitely.
Cool. In China, there is a public school. It's one of the more renowned and upper class schools in China.
That sounds like what they normally name their stuff. They always come up with catchy things like that.
Yeah. But what they do is basically, this whole school is virtually run by facial recognition software. Doors lock at a specific time. If you're late, you have to go through a second set of doors, and you have to get in with facial recognition, and then it records you back to your lane, and sends a message to the family of the owner. If you order food, you do up a menu at the beginning or the end of every week. You do a menu for what you want every day the next week. And then you just walk up and you scan your face and then your meal shows up. And then it takes your meals, and over the course of like a year, it will actually go through your food and see chef better meal plan, that'll be better to learn.
I don't give a shit!
Whoops, I'm sorry. That is... That is so insanely invasive, in my opinion. I don't even know... I have no idea what to make of that. That sounds... I'm at a loss. I don't know what to say. The part of me kind of likes it. That's true.
And if you have cameras everywhere, and I mean absolutely everywhere, there's not a dead zone anywhere.
Right.
And you have no, there's nowhere for a criminal to go without being caught or having nothing to happen.
Well, I guess from a society that's made massive advancements in genetically engineering their kids, why not, pay attention to every single thing they do while they do it to make sure that all that genetic engineering paid off? That's... That's basically one step further than having a barcode on your forehead, though, isn't it? Like, you're just being...
Actually, I think it takes it farther than that.
Exactly.
You got to scan a barcode. This, you just got to walk. You just got to walk by something, and there's your fucking... Your face is on camera. No matter where you go, your face is on camera.
This is like that... You remember Gattaca?
I've heard of it,
yeah. Ethan Hawke and, I believe, Gwyneth Paltrow? Early movie where they're genetically, everyone's genetically engineered, and he finds a way to beat it and get in with the elite group. But that's where we're at with this kind of technology, where they're just, they know by your face whether you're in the neighborhood you're supposed to be in.
Yeah.
And they can and you'll get
China also has a thing that they're in the process of trying to put in, which is one of the grading system for people. We're basically, again, it's like, not only are you on camera and you're being judged by everything, you can actually watch the camera and everything else, but if somebody sees you when you're out and somebody asks for help and you walk past them, you actually, like, lose merit points.
Yeah, well, that... That just makes sense in a Marxist society, though. That's how it, you know, that the in a primitive way, that's how Marxism always worked, where you live in a certain area with your class of people, you do your job that you were set out for during school, and that's just your life. So the next step technologically would be that, where if you go down a street you're not supposed to be on, they can buzz you and go, it's fucking Demolition Man.
You're not supposed to be here.
John Merrick, you lose 3 points for violating the decency code.
Now, here's the thing. So when they're talking about that specific part of it, they're asking, what do you think? How does it work against you? What happens in order for it to work against you? And basically what it does is, say you want to make a sign up your subversion. You want to go in and get a loan. You want to get into a certain job. You can't get into that job with your subversion.
That is, I see, I think in that scenario I become Dennis Leary in Demolition Man, you know what I mean? Because I just, as much as I joke about how I like to be followed and I like to be watched and it makes me comfortable, that gets frightening, where you and I can't have this conversation. But I don't think they can do it without telling you. You'd have to have some sort of tally.
No, there's no tally.
Yeah, see, that you can't do that. I mean, that's where the Chinese government always gets shifty with these fucking things, isn't it? Where they're like, you got a certain amount of points, and if you lose them, you're going to the Siberian prison camp. Oh, well, how many do I have? Well, you don't know that. So you better not lose another one just in case. Wow, that is, it's frightening that they're actually doing this. I don't see it spreading until they take over our country, but
game over.
Hang on one sec, Gord. You just got really quiet on me there. I don't know why. Oh, wait a minute. It might have been this. Is it this? Uh-oh. I think I might have lost you. Oh, no. Well, I can hear you. And I think the podcast can hear you. Okay. Yeah, I can definitely hear you. So we'll just keep it at that for now. And you're coming through the monitor loud and clear. And we're pissing off people at Tim Hortons. It's great. Wow, I don't even know what to think about. I'm not sure where my mind is at about that. It really frightens me that that's already a possibility. They obviously couldn't institute it here. But if they're that close to doing that, then we can't be far off. Just for the record, there's 4,500 other people listening too. All right, we're going to just pause for 1 sec here, Gord, because I've lost you again. I don't know why you're getting quiet on me. I'm just going to pause you for 1 sec here, Gord. And we're back to it, Gord. Sorry about that. They can hear you. It's just, unfortunately, I can't. Hang on. Fuck it. Alright, this isn't gonna work. You can talk now, Gord, I can hear you. I put headphones in. See, it's either I can hear you or the computer can hear you, but it's not both. Where's the microphone? It's here, I believe. Yeah, sorry, man. I'm just going to stop it. This really blows.